At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. The professor points to a significant embassy by the new Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, who is, of course, extremely familiar with the area, extremely familiar with foreign policy, having served in the Senate ably these many years, and is of special concern for the brutality visited by people of Cuba and through the region by Cuba. It's Havana, the government of the Castros, now in the hands of other unknown dictators. However, the secretary is headed to Panama, theoretically a friendly state, and yet, because of remarks by the President of the United States, Mr. Trump, Panama is now very much in a debate about whether it is well defended and well situated, given the depredations of our adversaries and the use of money to influence peddle throughout Latin America by the People's Republic of China, which is non-transparent and no friend of the United States, if I understand correctly the foreign policy of the U.S. right now. However, Professor, Panama Canal Zone, the Panama Canal, there are many ways to talk about this, but I prefer to say right now the treaty that transferred the canal zone into the sovereign hands of the president, Mellino, has in it a provision for the U.S. providing defense. That looks to be to engage that argument now because Panama is not well defended. It has been back and forth questions about Chinese interference for many years. We're not going to pretend that the man, the billionaire Hong Kong owner of the two ports services at either end of the canal is independent of the People's Republic of China. He's a billionaire. He lives in Hong Kong. He obeys what Beijing wants. Hong Kong is no longer an independent state. And those ports are open to question. In addition, I'm told that the Chinese have indicated they're ready to put more money into Panama to build up the railroad that goes from one side to the other. There are other anecdotes we could tell about how they poorly managed the drought last year, about how there are questions about previous governments and other income for the states, and especially the Darien Gap and how that's been handled these many years. So the conversation that we can anticipate by Mr. Rubio to President Mellino, is it going to go to let's make this happen? Is it going to go to find a way to work with us? How do you see it, Professor?
President Mellino is certainly scrambling to figure out what he can offer to President Trump to be able to work and get past some of these issues in what should otherwise be a very positive relationship over immigration and leveraging the close relationship Panama has long had with the United States and U.S. businesses. I should point out that from the beginning, President Trump, going back to his first term and before, has really had two issues. Focused on issue with respect to the danger of the Chinese presence in the Panama Canal was originally not President Trump's chief issue. His chief issue is actually the second issue, which is the issue of what is perceived as U.S. companies being ripped off for the transits of the canal when the U.S. had paid for the canal. As you pointed out, the governing body of law or commitments is the September 7th, 1977. 1997 Panama Canal Treaty, which actually contains two separate parts. One part, it was the turnover of the canal and Panama's obligation to operate the canal and defend the canal. Under Article 4, it involved arrangements cooperating with the U.S. for the protection and defense. And to that extent, the U.S. has long worked with Panama to maintain a multilateral exercise called Panamax, as well as provided cooperation, to the Panamanian Defense Forces, SENA Front, and its Air and Naval Services, SENAN, and the National Police. But the other part of the treaty which comes in here is what come to be known as the Neutrality Treaty, which talks not only of the obligation to keep the canal open for all countries on equal terms, China, the U.S., Chile, the European Union. And oh, by the way, China never actually signed the Neutrality Treaty. That's an interesting thing that could be pursued later. But also what they call the just, equitable, and reasonable management of the canal. And so at the end of the day, this question of whether the U.S. could take back the canal, whether or not by military force, it really goes back to the interpretation of neutrality. Number one, does the Chinese influence in the canal zone, for example, the operation by Hutchison of the ports in Cristobal and Balboa, and the very questionable, extension by another 25 years of the Hutchison lease back in 2021, whether that and Chinese influence somehow violates neutrality, or whether just it being enough for everyone to be able to go through the canal on equal terms satisfies neutrality. But the other piece is whether the fact that Panama has jacked up the rates, it still treats U.S. flagged ships equally as other ships. But it is true that about 2/3 of all ships that go through the canal either begin in or end in U.S. ports. And it is true that U.S. military ships do have to pay for the canal. And so the question of whether the jacking up of rates, in part because of the drought restrictions, and also the very high rates that are paid by certain categories of ships that are very important to the United States, such as, for example, the LNG tankers that are sent from U.S. East Coast ports through the canal, whether that violates this concept of just and equitable. And so I think those things are going to be fought over. But at the end of the day, if I had to suspect what might be a logical compromise that people are looking for, the question is, number one, if there's a way of really focusing on the possible corruption that occurred under the Cortizo government of the renewing Hutchison's lease and perhaps, giving those port operations to a more reliable U.S. Company. Also if there's a way of renegotiating some of the rates, or there's actually a little known treaty in Panama by which the United States, it's called the Treaty of Monteria, in which actually Colombia and Costa Rica get an exception. Their ships do not have to pay to go through the canal. And so there's a question of could U.S. ships be invited to that exception under the Treaty of Monteria to get out of payment? Now, that's largely speculation, but I suspect that those types of deals involving who controls those ports and what the rates are might be the type of compromise that people like President Mulino are looking for as Marco Rubio comes to talk about the Panama Canal, among other issues.
The Darien Gap, Professor. I know it is not as critical as the shipping through the canal, but there is no back door to the United States if the Darien Gap is shut. I've looked at it. I've reported on it for years. It is jungle. It is dangerous, but it can be shut. Certainly, there was no effort by the Biden administration to do that. There was suggestion, in fact, that it enhanced the route through there by providing funds or direction for enlarged camps when you come out of the jungle. And the busing was constant from the south of Panama right to Costa Rica and then through Costa Rica and on to Mexico. Will the U.S. insist upon shutting that gate? It's very straightforward. Will Mulino obey?
My understanding is that the key issue is having the adequate capability. The Darien Gap is a jungle region, relatively difficult to control. There was some coordination by the Biden administration, actually at the request of Mulino, who campaigned on trying to stop migrants from going through the Darien Gap to shut it down. So it appears there actually is a desire by Mulino to work with the U.S. And get U.S. help. As a matter of fact, one of the win-win developments that I think is going to be possible at the end of the day is, you know, if you want to stop immigration coming to the U.S. border, one of the things that you can work out, probably something that President Mulino would be open to, is do you put advance CBP personnel in addition to other U.S. personnel there to work alongside CENTERFRONT and SENAN to help control the Darien Gap? So at the end of the day, once we get past the issue of China and Panama Canal raids, I strongly suspect that that type of collaboration involving perhaps you know, Tom Homan and USDHS with the Panamanian government may be exactly the type of cooperation on migration that is very agreeable to both governments.
The same for Costa Rica, which is an extremely friendly state to the U.S. Costa Rica has the authority to refuse migrants coming on buses from Panama. Can that be done? Will that be done? Will Costa Rica oblige?
That absolutely could be done. This is an issue all along the borders in Central America that no country up until now has wanted to be the one that stops migrants flowing through there, because that causes a backup of migrants in their neighbors, and that causes political problems. And so there's been a kind of tacit policy, with a few exceptions, of countries to try to move migrants through the territory as quickly as possible rather than trying to stop them. But as you pointed out, you know, that policy all along Central America and through the Caribbean needs to be rethought, or else it just displaces the problem to the U.S. border. And that's a lose-lose proposition.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, Venezuela.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.